This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. We're back. Emotional support animals, therapy animals, service animals. It's all very confusing. And we have an expert. We have Mary Margaret Callahan. I can't help but say her name that way. Who is the chief mission officer with Pet Partners. And she's going to fill us in on therapy animals, therapy cats. I have so many questions. We'll be back right after a word from our sponsor.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with my gorgeous ride or die BFF, Rita Reimers.
Rita has red eyes today because of the pollen. You should see my red car is green. It's just covered with pollen. I don't like it. But enough about me.
You have 18 what? Cats in your house. I have 11.
I
want to talk to Mary Margaret, and I want us to each determine which cat would be most likely to be
know.
A therapy
I think I
animal.
Already know. In my house, there's two.
Sweetie?
I think it would be Oliver and Sweetie Pie.
Oh, Oliver, yeah.
Maybe probably right. We'll find out. I'm going to talking to you. I talk to you all the time. Hi, Mary Margaret.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming and being on with us. So let's start with a definition, because service animals, emotional support animals, and therapy animals are three completely different things, and people get them very confused.
I do too.
So splain, baby.
So I've got, I think, the easiest way to describe it. And you're right. These are always conflated. People are accidentally mixing them up. There's no malice intended, but there does feel like some overlap. So here's my hot tip for you. Right. When we think about both emotional support animals and service animals or assistance animals, right, that could be a seeing eye dog or things like that. In those relationships, that's a one-to-one relationship, one animal benefiting one other person, right? Whether it's helping them with the activities of daily living or supporting them through mental health challenges, that one animal supports one person. Therapy animals, on the other hand, is a one-to-many relationship. One animal is out there visiting maybe a whole bunch of kids at the pediatric hospital in your community, or maybe 5 or 10 residents at the local nursing home. So that one animal is benefiting a whole bunch of people, not just one other individual. I think that's the easiest way to tell. When you have to ask yourself that litmus question, like, is this a therapy animal? Is it one-to-one or one-to-many?
That's awesome. I never thought of it that way. That is a great, simple yes. explanation.
So the therapy animals are the one going visiting. And I do have a little bit of experience with this. My girlfriend, Cheryl had a golden that was just amazing. And he was such a sweet dog. And so he went through training. And I know with the dog, it was reactivity. Will he startle and pay attention if somebody's walking past? Will he get aggressive if somebody's messing with his food? You know, that kind of thing. How is he going to be? Cats. How do you have a cat therapy animal? What are you looking for?
Yeah, cats don't typically like to travel either or be out of their own space.
I mean, there are far fewer cats, therapy cats, out in the universe than there are therapy dogs. That's for sure. But that doesn't mean that a cat can't be a therapy animal. They're just sort of, they've got a secret sauce, right? That it's many, many fewer. But these are the questions you ask yourself if you're thinking, well, how does this work for a cat, right? therapy cats tend to be very affiliative. They want to hang out with strangers. Now, I suspect you gals are kind of like me. You know, you go over to a friend's house, go to a party, and you feel honored when the cat chooses you, right? The cat sits on your lap and you're like, I have been chosen.
I look for the animals. I don't want to talk to people. I'm shy.
Those animals, those cats who are willing to approach strangers and spend time with them, that's your first tip that they may be predisposed to being interested in being a therapy cat, right? But I think the other thing that people don't realize a lot, and this is so fascinating, lots and lots of people focus on what does the cat need to do? What does the cat need to do? It's just as important how well the handler can manage that situation. So one of the things, we recently did some research with Cat Person, which is a great cat care brand, but there's very little research about the cat-human bond, right? And there's even less research about therapy cats. And so we undertook some research. And one of the things that we found was when we started to do these interviews and surveys, talking to people who were therapy cat teams and talking to facilities that welcomed therapy cats, we looked at, well, who are these cats anyhow? First of all, it was spread across a wide, wide group of breeds. So it wasn't all domestic short hairs. It wasn't all ragdoll cats. It wasn't all Devon Rexes or Sphinx cats. There was all sorts of different cat breeds who could become therapy animals, right? But then the other thing that I thought was so fascinating is the average age of a therapy cat was a little older than the average age of a therapy dog. And in part, that's because also on average, the length of relationship between the handler and the cat tended to be very long before they became a therapy cat
team.
That
makes sense. It takes longer for a cat to trust than a dog.
To really get the feeling of what that cat's personality is, right?
Got to know that cat, and that cat needs to trust you because, like you were saying, Rita, you're bringing this cat into environments that's not its own. If your cat can't fully trust you and know that you're always going to be acting in its best interests, it's going to not have a great time as a therapy cat. So that's what we saw. Cats tended to be a little older because they had a much longer relationship with their handler before they became a therapy cat.
Nice. That makes complete sense. Yes, Linda, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm assuming there's some kind of testing because we did an experiment that we weren't trying to do an experiment.
Oh, right.
Rita had to do some videos for Catster Magazine at one of their homes. And so I was with her at the time and she said, who should I bring? And it was a no-brainer. Simon and Colby, they are what we call her greeter cats.
Well, and when Colby had done a previous set of videos with me when he was a kitten. So I thought, oh yeah, he'll come along.
And then I said, you know, we should probably bring a third just to be on the safe side. So we ended up bringing Pumpkin. He was just like, it was a random pick.
We actually asked your husband and Brian said, oh, bring Pumpkin.
Bring Pumpkin. He doesn't even know the cats, but he could chose for us. Simon, poor thing, was basically standing in a corner for a lot of it with his head in, freaking out. Colby disappeared. We could not find Colby for the longest time.
Even though he'd been at that house before and had already been in video.
He had stuffed himself under a credenza and thing. Again, yeah. It was like inches. I don't know. And we were like walking past trying to search. We were sure he'd gotten out.
I think you just kind of caught the orange and you're like,
wait. I did. I caught a little glimpse of orange. And I was like, found him. So, and Pumpkin, who was our whatever, he read the script. He sat
there. He was
there.
Already older. He was 16.
Yes. He let them put hats on him. I had told the guy, I'm going to put the hat on. I'm going to dive and do carpet video, you know, carpet, scrape myself up because you got 1 second to take it. I dove, got rug burn, and the cat was like, yes, dear. What else can I do for you? We put little solo cups in front of him because they were supposed to be partying. I mean, he did everything.
We even had to fake an attack, remember, with him and Colby? And he faked it well.
He did everything.
Oh, and the scene in bed with you, too, where he was supposed to smack you with
his tail. Supposed to be is your cat keeping us up all night. So they've got me in these kitty jammies, and the blankets are up to my chin, and they set him down, and he sat there with his tail whapping me on the forehead. Whap, whap.
He read the script.
He understood the assignment. So, you know, it's not always who you expect. The two that we thought were sure things were freaked out. Backfire. I feel like we tortured them. And Pumpkin was like, give me my script. I'm
ready.
But
like you said, older cat. He was the oldest one of the bunch. The others were under, both of them were under two.
So I think what's so interesting, like that does really speak to the fact that there's a lot of value in having an independent third party help you assess if this is the right thing for you and your animal, right? Because we see this a lot. People who are passionate, they want to volunteer in their community. They want to go to the library and have kids read. They want to go to the hospital. They want to help here. And that's all really wonderful. But one of the tenets of the human-animal bond is that it's supposed to be mutually beneficial, not just beneficial for the person receiving the visit. This should be beneficial for our animals too. These are sentient beings. They've got the opportunity to express preferences and make choices. And it's our job as the pet parent and as the handler in that situation to respect their preferences. And so Pet Partners believes really strongly that every 2 years you want to have your therapy animal evaluated or reevaluated, because it's hard in our hearts when we want to do this and we love our animals so much, we can't always be really objective. So helpful to have an objective third party there to go, I can tell your animal really likes meeting strangers, as opposed to the person who's bringing their cat because they want to do the work. And the cat's like, why? But why?
Yes, the cat's in the corner.
Yeah. How do you reassess? How do you certify an animal that what
so
you
there's
do?
A handler?
Yeah.
That's a great question. There's a handler training component. So you, as the human holding the leash, right? You need to know certain things. You need to make sure you don't say the wrong thing. You need to know about, you know, zoonosis and hand hygiene, make sure you're not spreading any germs by accident. But then there is an aspect of going and doing, it feels a little bit like a dress rehearsal, right? You're going to actually do these role-playing scenarios where someone can see, how does your cat act when it has to greet a friendly stranger? Or what happens when there's a weird noise in the corner of the room? And it's okay to startle, but does your animal recover? Or do they get so stressed out they can't keep going, right? Because that's not what we want. It's okay to startle, but you got to recover because you've got that handler who's there that you have this trusting bond with, right? Also, we do ask that cats pass a friendly dog, not a dog they have to interact with. But if you don't want to be in a situation where your animal is so fearful that it's not to their benefit to be in that situation. And so those are some of the things that your evaluation consists of. It's sort of, what are some of the interactions you might actually have on a visit? That's what's important.
Now they say that knocks out Simon and Oliver. I still think Sweetie Pie would be good. Bella would be, except she tends to nip. So you have to watch out for that too.
Yeah, if she gets overstimulated or starts getting upset, she'll do a nip.
Well, and that's a good example, that overstimulation, right? That can really happen. And people are like, oh, it's not aggression. No, it's just, it's too much.
Yeah. And that's exactly the worst case scenario to put it in. But I have to tell you, if I was in the nursing home or the hospital, I love dogs. I've had dogs. We're going to get another dog. But a dog is very in your face. Cats are my vibe.
Well, they have quieter energy than a dog.
That's it. That's it. Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons why Pet Partners registers 9 different species of animals, because we recognize not everybody's a dog person, and that's okay, right?
Ooh, tell us what they are. What are they?
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to probably count on my fingers, make sure I don't miss anyone, right? 9 gives me a lot. I start getting a little desperate at the end. Okay. So obviously dogs, it's our number one registered species. We have about 94% of our therapy animals are canines. We've got cats, obviously. We love those cats. Equines, miniature horses in particular, they're smaller and they can go into settings.
I saw
like that.
A social media video where they brought this miniature horse in and it was, I cried.
Okay, Linda, we're not having a sanctuary for miniature horses.
Darn it. All right.
So then it, what we'll see, we've got rabbits, right? Guinea pigs. We have some llamas and alpacas.
Wow.
Pot-bellied pigs, parrots. And last but not least, and this is the one that people, when you say it, they go, oh, really? Domesticated rats. So we do have a handful of rats. See, there you did, right? Which some people do. But you know what? It just goes to show different animals are beneficial to different people. Rats are terrific, smart, very sort of intuitive and inquisitive and things like that. And you know what? While not everybody loves rats, you know, one audience that I have heard time and time again from some of our wonderful volunteers across the country who loves rats, kids in juvenile justice. Anybody who feels like someone has drawn a conclusion about them before really getting to know them, because they go, well, I understand. People think that they don't like rats, that rats are dirty or rats are gross. People have assumed stuff about me before too, and it wasn't right.
Oh, that's really heartbreaking.
My heart, I know.
So lots of different animals for lots of different people.
That's amazing.
Oh, it is. I wrote down, there was a quote, and you all can go to petpartners.org if you want to see. There's
break
a lot
this.
There. Okay. So I'm going to give you the quote, and we'll talk about it after we come back.
Sounds good.
Through the human-animal bond, we can improve the physical, social, and emotional lives of both the people and animals involved. I love that. All right, Rita.
We'll be right back to talk about it after this message from our sponsor.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting, my BFF co-host, writer Diane Linda Hall, and the awesome, I can't say it like you do, Linda Singer.
Mary Margaret Callahan.
That's it. And Linda just gave this awesome quote. Do you want to just say it again and then we'll talk
through
about
the human-animal bond, we can improve the physical, social, and emotional lives of both the people and animals involved. And that is so powerful, and we know it. It's why we fight to keep cats in their homes and take care of behavior problems, because we know what it does to people in home. But let's talk about what this is doing for the people. Like, I mean, you just gave a brilliant example with the juveniles.
We think about the challenges as a society we face today, right? So much loneliness, isolation, depression, anxiety, stress. One of the things we see time and time again is that the presence of therapy animals, even in relatively short amounts of time, can have lasting benefits on all of those factors for people, right? So whether it's you become a volunteer and you decide to go to the local retirement home or senior center, you know, you're helping to prevent loneliness. You're helping to reduce isolation. And one of my favorite factors about this that's been studied is that the presence of a therapy animal increases the amount of interaction between staff and residents even after the therapy animal has left. There's a lasting impact on how people interact. We're also seeing this coming in at the workplace. So think about, we all, you know, had COVID-19. Many of us who worked in offices started to work from home, and many of us didn't necessarily go back to offices right away or are starting to have to transition back to offices. We have workplaces asking us to bring in therapy animals almost as a mixer to get coworkers talking again, have it be a benefit of going into the office again, because you get to hang out with some therapy animals on your break.
I love that. That might have kept me in the office longer if we had animals.
Right? Well, and I was thinking, now this was not a therapy animal per se, but my dad had knee replacement surgery and had to go to the nursing home. That was fun. He wasn't happy. And somebody in another room, his wife would come visit them with their teeny tiny little purse type doggy. My dad would get so excited. She'd take the dog out and walk it in the grass. He'd go, look, Linda, the dog's out there. And he took pictures of the dog. He had pictures of the dog on his phone, like asked me about my grandchildren, asked me about this lady's random dog. And she'd walk down the hall and he'd say something and she'd bring it in. It really, I mean, the man was really miserable, and it really brightened his time there having that dog around. Like, he still has that picture on his phone. Okay. So yeah. And that wasn't even technically a therapy animal, but it did the same job,
well,
right?
Plus he was missing his cat, you know, his cat was at home without him.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I love from this study that we did is we talked to facility staff where they have an existing therapy animal program that welcomes cats. 100% of facilities that welcome cats said it was a positive overall experience. So it can be challenging for those of us who are cat lovers and want to volunteer with our cats. You sometimes do have to kind of talk yourself into being admitted into a facility because they're used to dogs. They know dogs. And people go, can a cat even be a therapy cat? I'm here to tell you they can, right? Therapy cats are dispelling sort of some of the myths about cats, right? What do we think about when people make sweeping generalizations about cats?
They're solitary, aloof, yes.
Right? Solitary, not so friendly, not true. Can't be trained. None of that is true, right?
Look at her cat showing off for us. He's been doing it.
He always does. Along. He always does. Yeah.
No. So, I mean, one of the things I love about seeing therapy cats in different settings is it's challenging people's stereotypes about cats as pets, right? People having a chance to meet a cat and go, oh, I didn't think cats were like this. Well, they can be. They are.
Definitely. And they're so intuitive and empathetic. That's something that we're constantly driving home in behavior sessions. Like, your cat picks up on your emotions. You can't be stressed when you're doing this integration. Did your cat just eat your headphones and disconnect them, Rita?
No, it's still connected.
The way you were hanging it, I thought,
no, he wants to jump up in my lap, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My one cat, he's got balance issues. So he wants to come up and he keeps nagging me on my lap. And I have to sit back and let him.
Give there him the goes. Give him a spot. Invitation.
This is Dexter, who was, he appeared on my deck one day a few years back. So handsome. Linda named him Dexter. Anyway, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. So where do we go from here? If I've got a cat, I want my cat to be a therapy cat. Where do I go? What do I do? How do I get started with this?
Great. And I suspect you guys talk about this all the time, right? With cats, start small, start little. Pay attention. So start doing your socialization. Invite someone over. Watch how your cat reacts when someone comes in. You really have to be observant. It is your job as the handler to be your animal's best advocate, right? Your job to set them up for success. And part of that is just getting really familiar with watching how they behave in different settings, right? So start some of that socialization. Rita mentioned this earlier. Travel can be kind of a barrier, right? If your cat, unless you happen to live next door to the hospital where you plan to go, chances are you're going to have to travel with your cat. So what does that look like? Do you need to do some training around being in a carrier, going on short car rides, preparing for that so it's a positive experience, right? Because remember, this is only works when it's mutually beneficial for everybody involved. So watching socialization and observing how your cat behaves, preparing them for that. Travel is usually a big thing. And also, if they need to wear equipment, right? Wearing a leash. Do you want them to wear a vest? Are they going to wear a collar? What does that look like? That can take some time because most of our cats, not leash walkers by nature. And while I'm not suggesting you're going to walk down the hallway with your cat on a leash, you do want to have your cat leashed in case something were to happen, right? You don't want your cat jetting off into a crowd where you can't find them.
I was going to ask
you about that. So as a safety precaution, you're probably going to want to really get your cat comfortable in a harness so that even though you may be carrying them around, you don't ever have run the risk of them 100%. Being lost in a crowd.
Yeah.
I still vote for Sweetie Pie being.
I kind of do too. Start working on her on the harness.
She's a tiny little cute thing. I'll try to.
Everyone would melt. Let me tell you. And it's like you said, it's the desensitization. We talk to people and they'll say, oh, I tried harness training. They weren't having it. Okay. First, you leave the harness out so that it smells right and they're used to it and it's no big deal. Then you just take the harness and you touch them with it like you're brushing them or something. Oh, there's
she's curled up in bed with me.
Curled
there.
Up.
Oh, that's my baby.
She's floofy and she's little and she's just adorable. She's got a little naughty in her, but she's adorable.
She's never bitten. I don't think I've ever even heard of this.
No. She's
one of the first to greet Linda when she comes.
Tell you another one. We're going to talk about this later is Dexter because he's never met a stranger and is so unfazed by everything.
Him with his balance issues.
I know. She brought him into the house and all the cats are like, you know, challenging him and hissing at him. And he just kept like, dude, what? I'm here, you know. But yeah.
He was all over you guys when you were here. He was a kitten. He'd only been in my house a couple of weeks and they almost took him home.
I wanted to. I think my husband would have killed me, but that's another thing entirely. So yeah, exactly. Nothing phases him. Yeah.
So change subject a little teeny bit. I read something about, and you might know about this, there's a program in some of the jails where they're teaching the inmates how to work with and train cats. I thought that was just awesome.
I have heard about programs like this, and they're amazing, usually on a state level. But again, goes back to that concept of the human-animal bond, right? And that mutual benefit. So taking an animal, whether it's a dog or a cat, preparing it so it can be adopted by a loving family, it obviously benefits the animal. But then the wonderful opportunity to develop a bond with that animal, feel like you're training them for something that's going to go on and be really beneficial. I mean, such a valuable, valuable interaction.
Oh, yes. And cats are the perfect, so you don't have to take them out. You don't have to walk them. They're not going to poop in your room. Well, they are, but it's in a litter box. You know, they're the perfect animal. They do well in small spaces, you know, on and on and on. So I am assuming, do you need an official registration? So I've decided my cat's going to be a therapy cat. I'm assuming I need to get this cat registered in a specific way. Can I just go to petpartners.org and get the information?
Come
there?
To petpartners.org, right? We'll okay. get you set up. So you're going to want to take your handler training, which you can do online or in person if there happens to be a workshop in your area. We are in all 50 states in the US, and we're also internationally in several countries. And once you've gotten your training, you're going to figure out what does that evaluation look like? And you and your cat can take some time to prepare and practice for that sort of, you know, role-playing evaluation where you're going to be scored. Now, important thing to remember is they're scoring your cat, but they're scoring you too. Are you looking out for your animal's best interest? Can you recognize their body language? And when you can do those things and advocate for your animal, the two of you then can become a team. When you register with a team as pet partners, then you have opportunities. You have insurance, which in this day and age is really important.
Oh, that's
Most
amazing.
Facilities are not going to welcome you if you don't have insurance as a volunteer, right? And so you'll have insurance, you have access to places where have requested volunteers through Pet Partners, or you can approach a facility in your community and say, I have always wanted to volunteer, and provide them with information, and we'll help you get cat therapy animal programs started.
Nice. That was my next question. I live in a very small town.
I do too.
I can pretty much guarantee you we've got nursing facilities and schools and all kinds of things around here, but I can pretty much guarantee you that they're not. I would be shocked if they were registered with something. So it's like, okay, how do I start that? Because I, you know, it's easier for somebody close to home. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we can help you with resources. Different places need different things. Some people want to see data and reports and research. Some people just want to know you've got great insurance, and we can help walk you through that process so that you can approach a facility in your community, because that's what this is about, right? Giving back to your community while strengthening your relationship with your beloved pet.
So is the insurance in case your pet bites somebody? What is it for?
It tends to be in case an accident happens. Okay. So whether it's an unintentional scratch, or whether it's, let's say you have a big dog who barks and scares someone and they feel like that was emotionally damaging to them. This day and age, the United States is pretty litigious. It behooves you to have insurance, because who knows what's going to happen.
You're not wrong. Yes.
You're not wrong.
Your cat accidentally breaks that special something right. in the room.
A little bit of gravity testing, right?
Yeah.
Something falls off and breaks.
Cats are notorious for liking to see things fall to the floor.
All right. So now let's say I am so pumped about this. I think this is the greatest thing ever, but none of my cats are going to hit this criteria and I'm too loaded. What can I still do to help you? Do you take donations?
Well, and we have really fun events that you don't have to be a therapy animal owner to participate in. So every fall, we have the world's largest pet walk, a great opportunity to go out and walk either with your own animal or with other people's animals too. We'd love to have that happen, right? National Therapy Animal Day is April 30th every year. If you want to support more therapy cats being out there in the world, you can help raise awareness by requesting a proclamation from your municipal government, just having therapy animals recognized for the important contributions they do all across the country, right? We also are a nonprofit. We do accept donations. There's lots of great opportunities to get involved and engaged with Pet Partners. We'd love to have you come by. Check out our website at petpartners.org and see where you may fit in, because you're right. The cat you have today may not be the right cat. Maybe a future cat would be. Or maybe what you're just committed to doing is helping spread the word so that more people realize therapy cats can be a thing, because many, many people don't. In that research I've been citing, 100% of facilities said clients or patients were surprised when they met a therapy cat. They didn't realize there could be therapy cats. Let's make it the norm, people, right? Let's get therapy cats out there.
I love that. Cats are the number one pet now, more so than dogs. So,
Rita, I'm sorry. I can't work the rest of the day. I have work to do. I want to go check out nurse.org.
We'll have to talk about that offline, Miss Linda.
Drat. Thank you so much, Mary Margaret. This has been so educational, so helpful, and I'm kind of pumped to figure out where I fit into this somewhere. We'll figure that out.
I want to see Sweetie Excellent. Pie in a little pink sparkly harness so I can take her. Everybody who sees her goes, oh. She melts hearts.
I mean, just seeing her does that. So, yeah, exactly.
I didn't name her Sweetie Pie. She came with that name, and it really suited her. So I kept it.
Well, anyway, get a harness and get started on her. That's your job.
Find me a pink sparkly harness for
her. Okay, we can do that. Oh, we can do that.
Yes, we can. So thank you so much. Thank you, Linda, as always, for being my ride or die co-host.
Always.
BFF, partner in life, work wife, as your husband likes to call me. Mary Margaret Callahan. I have some Irish in my family. Please come back again. You are a delight to talk with, and we could probably do another hour.
Oh yeah.
I would love that. You gals are great fun, and we're big cat fans at Pet Partners, so we would love to be back.
Wonderful.
Let's make them more well-known as the therapeutic animals that they can be. And of course, I have to thank Mark Winter for giving us this awesome spot on Pet Life Radio, making us sound so good. Thank you so much. Just remember, everyone, every day is Catter Day. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.